Please bear with me. For some crazy reason, we've been looking at kingdom culture. That's not the crazy reason. So if you haven't been with us, you've missed something, you can get recordings. I would encourage you to listen to them. But as family, we're on a journey together. Last week, we welcomed Diane into spiritual family. And we welcomed others into the family that is Regency Community Church, which is really cool. And there were things that Rich spoke about last week about love and about family that I thought, oh God, okay, that's encouraged me for today. Church, family and fellowship, you've got me for 2 weeks, you poor things. Okay, so bear with me. But being cheeky, you know, what passes through your mind when you hear that word family? Church, family, fellowship. I know for me, many years ago, if I'd heard that there was going to be someone talking on family, I would try to be outside serving. I wouldn't be in the meeting because I either back then thought it's not for me or it was such a vulnerable area, and it still is a vulnerable area. So if I get a bit emotional today, tough luck, suck it up. That's just part of it. I'm hoping not to, okay? And for me, I don't know, I'm just so thankful with that song, John, wherever you are, you know, I just want to stand amazed before my God, because actually I'm sharing out of what he's been doing in me and what he's still doing in me. It's a journey. I would not have chosen me to speak on family. I am a 40-something-year-old single woman. I have never been married. I have never physically given birth to children. So who am I to be mentioning some of what I'm going to be mentioning, and yet God in his craziness has said you. And he's my perfect father, so I just want to be obedient to him. Okay, so here we go. Yes, there is a God. Right. So why are we looking at family? Okay, the slide says, call it a clan, call it a network, call it a tribe, call it family. Whatever you call it, whoever you are, you need one. Now, there was a time in my life when I didn't think I needed family, but we'll come on to that. But it's really clear when we look in the Bible that family is important all the way through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. The concept of family is really important. So if it's really important in the Bible, then it suggests to me that it's really important to God. And if it's really important to God, then I should be taking note of it. And for some reason, God has chosen that framework of family to help us understand authority, his plan for our life. The structure of family is so vital to so many laws, principles that he goes on to encourage us to imply in our lives. So it's important for me to understand what God's version of family is so that I can understand the rest of his word as it applies in my life today. And we need to be able to understand family in order to love one another, encourage one another, put up with one another when we've got up each other's noses, when we make mistakes. And if we want fellowship, it comes from family. And if I want fellowship and I want to be affecting the community, then guess what? It begins with all of us. Oh, see, told you it would fall off. You don't have to do anything with it, so it's staying on there. Seriously, just breathing. Family tree, I was asking a few people, you know, what does family mean to them? For some people, they said, well, you're born into it, it's your blood family. Now, I'm not going to bother reading out what's on the tree. You can read it out for yourself if you can actually see it because of some of the size. It might be that family is something you've been taken into, you've been adopted into. It might be a friendship circle around you. For some people, when I was asking them, what does family mean to you? I got positives. I got, oh, yeah, it's... For others, I got, oh, family. No, so it can be positive, it can be negative. Fellowship, eating, sharing life together. And with family and fellowship, we can embrace it or we can avoid it. I hate not having that screen. Right, okay. Trying to define family actually is impossible, because if we went round everyone in this room, actually we'd all have a different experience or a different word that we link to the word family. Somebody suggests that it's all the descendants of a common ancestor Well, there are meads that go back in English records to 1200 and something or other. Well, I don't know if they're an ancestor or not, but it's a mead record there, so I could claim that. And family is a single word, but actually it has so much more meaning. And I might define it in terms of economic, cultural, social experiences, might have some other aspect. But years ago, and what can still kind of influence me now, is that my idea of family was that physical experience of family life that I'd had growing up as a military brat, and I'll share a little bit of that later. But the brilliant thing is God broke into my life, and when he did, new creation. And in that, I'm added to spiritual family. That's what Rich touched upon last week when Diane got dunked again. You know, that this time she was saying, oh, you know, actually, I know Jesus. You know, and in doing that, she became part of his family and therefore part of ours. And over the years, God's placed me in different families, physical ones, sometimes not by choice, but because it was part of a year team that I was on. And God's placed me in different spiritual families, the different churches that I've been part of over the years. And through that, he's shown me what family means. So what does it mean? I'm still learning big time. This is a natural family, okay? Or some of them. Got my granddad when me and my brother were little. Got my mum in the middle. I've got my stepmum and my dad and my sister at the top. I've got my nan scoffing the biggest ice cream that I've ever seen. And she managed to eat it all. There might be a hidden picture of me as a baby, a toddler. But there's my nephew, there's my brother in his uniform, all proud. And I want to say at the outset, I love my mum and my dad. But it took me a long time to be able to feel that, to be able to say it. I've had to write it down to believe it. And I want to honour them, because they brought me up in the best way that they knew how, with the knowledges and the experience and the environments that they had grown up in. I was born into a military family. It was one of discipline. It was really strict. We were encouraged not to show emotions. That was a sign of weakness. Certainly knew if my dad was frustrated or angry, because I'd get a good clip round the ear. Mum had a real verbal tone to her voice. You know, when you hear that phrase, a fisherman's wife, that would be my mum back then. But we were given a home. We ate well. We were clothed. But the only person who could hug me was my granddad. I don't remember my parents saying to each other or to us, I love you, well done. I don't remember them hugging each other. I think I've got one photo of them actually together. My parents divorced when I was 17. I actually grew up pretty much a loner, and I grew up thinking I didn't need anybody or anything. I was better off if it was just me on my own. But thankfully, God's done a lot, and he's shown me a lot. And I'm still learning his truths. I'm still being healed, restored, forgiven. I'm still forgiving. I'm still learning from my mistakes. What does God say about family? Because it's not about my physical experiences or my natural experiences. It's what God says about family. So I can go all the way back to Genesis 1. He created man in his image, male and female. Genesis 1:28. And he blessed them. He told them to be fruitful, go and multiply. And you can read that in your own time. And in Genesis 2:18, he instituted family. It's not good that man be alone. No, and he would make him a helper fit for him. Adam and Eve, we all know the story. And it's not just reference in the Old Testament. It comes in the New Testament as well, in Ephesians 5. You know, that man leaves his father and mother and holds fast to his wife, and the two shall become one. Obviously, not all of us are called to be married. Not all of us are called to be married yet. We might be in a different situation now. We might be widowed, separated, divorced, single parent. But wherever we're at this moment, God wants to encourage us that whatever situation we're in, we're not alone. He's placed all of us in family. Take a good look around. Because there's a physical family that we're born into maybe, but there is that spiritual family that he calls us to. And his family, I love this little picture. Families are like quilts stitched together with love, one piece at a time. For me, the love is God. The stitching, that's the Holy Spirit. And I might think that that fabric doesn't match that fabric and will really clash and look ghastly. That's why God brings them together, and he brings them together for his purposes and for his plans. You know, his desire is that family multiplies, reproduces. That might be physically, if you've been gifted with children. It could be spiritually. You know, we don't know in what way, but he does, and he knows what's best. When we become family, you know, researchers out there suggest that that's the essential building block for human society. So if family is the essential building block for human society, then it makes sense, doesn't it, that it's the same for our spiritual family. Genesis 4 introduces us to Cain and Abel. You know, Cain was a bit naughty and actually killed his brother. But we're bypassed that one, naughty little boy. But actually, God comes and he says to Cain, where's your brother? Now, where is Abel? And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And actually, when I read that, I think, well, yeah, you were entrusted to be your brother's keeper in the same way that he was entrusted to be yours. So there's that element in there of caring for one another. And when we look at the Bible and how family is set in the Bible, and if we look at other cultures and societies, especially in the East, it's a communal sense of family. You know, families get together, eat together around the table. Granny might be sat there, auntie could be sat there, nephews, nieces, whoever. But in our Western world, we live quite individualistically, don't we? You know, my little home is my little castle, and I might let you over the drawbridge, but I might not. You know, so that communal sense to it. And within family, God has given its members roles and responsibility. Now, it's not a choice. Actually, he set them. So Ephesians 5, 25 to 28 and Colossians 3, 19 talk about husbands. You know, and what does it say about husbands? That you're to love your wife if they're your own flesh. It's not a choice, it's a command. Now, so if you're not doing that, actually you're missing out on some of the good things and some of the blessings that God's got for you. Being a father, Ephesians 6, 4 and Colossians 3, 21. You know, encourage to bring up your children in the teaching of the Lord. Not provoke them to wrath, not badger them and go on at them so much and shame them that they end up hating you. No, it's encouragement. Wives, Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Encourage to submit to the husbands. And I don't think that's some wishy-washy mouse kind of you obey, I'm a robot. That's it. No. No, it's got to be much more than that. But when I submit to authority, I'm showing and I'm demonstrating that to others. I might not be married, but actually God's placed in a church with elders, Richard Nerick. Now, so if I've got big life-changing decisions or anything like that, guess who I go and bounce with? I bounce with those that God's put in authority over me. Mothers, 1 Timothy 5. Titus 2. Sorry, we haven't got time to read them, but you can grab them off me and go and read to your heart's content. Mothers, you know, learn from the older mothers amongst you because they've been there. It might have been different styles of mothering, you know, at that time. It changes, doesn't it? Bottle feeding, breastfeed, all that jazz, chops and changes. But actually, they've been there. They've had the endless nights being up, someone puking, whatever, you know, that kids do. I learn from you lot. I have the joys of being able to hold and then give back and go and get a decent night's sleep. Thank you, God. Okay. And then for me, children, Exodus 20:12 and Ephesians 6, 1-3. I struggled with this because it's children are to obey and honour their parents in a respectful way that adds value. Now, we don't know how long we've been given life by God, but we are told that those who honour their parents will live longer lives than those if they're being disobedient, full of hate, disrespect. And for me, it was a stumbling block. It's a really weird quote that I came across by Marianne Williamson. Until we've seen someone's darkness, we don't really know who they are. Until we have forgiven someone's darkness, we don't really know what love is. And I would say that I didn't really know what love was. And then God brought me to a point where it was the stumbling block of honouring and respecting my parents, and I didn't. But that's one of the reasons we have the Holy Spirit, and I've got to read it out because it's a bit emotional, really. God led me to a point where I had to repent of some of the thoughts and behaviours that I had had towards my parents. Whether I thought they were justifiable or not, my thoughts and my actions were wrong. I left home when I was 18. I had no intentions of staying in contact with my mum. My dad had left home by then. It was my granddad that I loved, so he was the one that I used to ring. And actually, I hated my parents when I left home, and I can't say how strongly that word was. That's why I wanted to start off by saying how much I honour and value them now, because God has softened me, he's healed me, he's restored me, and he still is. I can remember when I first told my mum that I loved her, because her behaviour towards me changed. I thought that her behaviour towards me changed. If you talk to her, and feel free, she's up in about a month, for at least a month, so grab her, take her for a coffee. Yeah, but she would say that I changed towards her. Well, I wasn't conscious of that, just the Holy Spirit was at work. I have a brilliant, excellent, restored relationship with her now, and for that I am very thankful. And God has restored what the locusts had eaten. But I struggled, and I reached a point where I had to submit my thoughts and my feelings to God, because I knew that I needed healing, but I knew that I couldn't experience a lot of other things without getting past that stumbling block. And so I asked him to help me see through his eyes and change my heart towards them and bring me to a point where I could, whether I felt it or not, forgive them, repent of my behaviour. And I wanted to be obedient to them, to him. And thankfully, that's been part of my journey. And then with siblings, the verse that was up there before, 1 Timothy 5, Paul is encouraging, teaching Timothy and us that we as a family unit should be behaving with respect one to another, honouring one another as we would our own brothers, sisters, parents, extended family. That's really difficult if our experience of physical, natural family has differed, not existed, or been imperfect. It's hard then to not try and relate in the way and the experiences that you've had before. But that's the beauty of God and the Holy Spirit. Mike's not here today, okay? But if you are texting, but pass back to him. It was Katia's 21st the other Friday. I had the privilege of Mike asking if I would join with them in going for a meal to celebrate. Now, I can't remember the last time I sat and had a meal with my dad and my sister. It's been over 5 years. You know, and yet there I was having family time. So thank you. I want to honour him and you guys in that. You know, it was a delight to be able to celebrate, and it was precious. It's those precious moments. Women. Some of you at times will have been a mum to me, but you might not be aware of how you have been a mum to me. Sarah and Joshua sat there at the back. Hi, Josh. You know, Sarah used to come to my youth group. God gave me relationship with her. Sarah had little Josh. Little did I know that actually they would become to me like a daughter and a grandson. That's how we explain relationships, because we went off to Brighton over the summer. We took loads of photos and put them on Facebook, and I've got friends who aren't church friends saying, well, who is she? And the only way to describe it in ways that they could understand was say, well, imagine that you've been given the privilege of getting alongside someone, and you kind of feel like at times you're mum, but you're not, and their daughter, but they're not. And that I will never have a grandchild physically, but I feel like God's given me one spiritually. I said, that is an amazing gift. So thank you. You know, and in that, I've had time. Sarah's given me time with her and with Joshua. She's allowed me to get to know him. You know, having somebody climb up onto my knee was not a natural thing. Kissing somebody, blowing raspberries on their belly is not a natural thing. But actually it is. It is when you love them. It is when you have relationship with them. But God's had to teach me that. So for some of you, God's calling you to be aunt, brother, sister, mother, father to others of us here, because when we are here, then we can be to community out there. For me, when we grasp of family structure that God's established, because he's established it. So if he's established it, guess what? I've got to get into it. Because if I'm not, then guess what? I'm being disobedient to him. And actually, I'm losing out on some of the benefits and some of the joys that he's got to give me and for him to give others through me. You know, heaven, I don't want to wait until I get to heaven to be experiencing some of what he's got to give us. We are God's family now, here on earth, to represent his family, how it's going to be in eternity. Guess what? You're stuck with me for eternity. You might not like it, so get used to it now. Don't wait till then, although thankfully, you know, we have our perfect bodies and that jazz. But God ordained the church to be his family. Jesus is the head of that church. He's my husband. No, I am the bride. We are the bride, being prepared. Can't wait for that wedding day. He's the authority. So we as individuals, we're his children, we're siblings, brothers and sisters, one to the other. And we're supposed to be an example of that heavenly family to the community out there. No, little picture, brothers, sisters, aunt, uncles. God places us in family, natural, physical, but also spiritual. So if you're sat here and you're part of Regionally Family Church, you are here for such a time as this. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not because you can't be bothered to go anywhere else. It's because he wants you with your specific isms, your specific gifts, your personality, your character, because that personality, that character, those isms, those giftings, when you get alongside me, sometimes they're going to rub me up the wrong way, but actually they're smoothing off attitude, things within me, that God wants to smooth off. And we're smooth, you know, rubbing off and blessing one another at the same time. So for me, family is really important in the Bible, and it is. And that it's the physical building block of human society, then it's got to be the building block of spiritual society. We're a new creation. Make it made through Jesus, that spiritual family. You know, Revelation 7:9 says it's a family drawn from every nation, tribe, people and language. I can't wait till eternity, because it's like, will we all be able to suddenly understand Russian, or will it suddenly be that we are communicating in the language of the God? I don't know, but we will know one day. And the defining characteristic of this spiritual family, that we love one another. No, John 13:34. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So family isn't about the blood that you're born into. It's people who want you in their life and who accept you as you are. Now, I have to confess, there are times when I don't want family around me. That might be for good reasons. It could be for negative reasons. But guess what? I need you around me, whether I think I do or not. You are my wider family body. It takes time for us to be ourselves, to be vulnerable, to be open, to think that people are going to accept us as we are, with all our quirks and isms too. But that's what it's about. That's what fellowship groups are for. They're to pray when we're up against it, because we're not in it on our own. We're here for each other. I haven't done bad, only one cough so far. If you'd heard me Wednesday, you'll know what a miracle that is. The great gift of family life is to be intimately acquainted with people you might never have even introduced yourself, had life, let's put God in there, not done it for you. God has introduced me to you and you to me. And intimacy, it's taken me a while to learn, and I'm still learning, but intimacy isn't about who you let physically touch you. It is so much more. Intimacy is who you text at 3 a.m. about your dreams and your failures, fears. Intimacy is giving someone attention when 10 other people are asking for it. Intimacy is the person in the back of your mind, no matter how distracted you are. And for me, one of the great things has been God wanting that intimacy as Father with us. And out of that comes everything else. So I want to learn to be more vulnerable and intimate with you, but I need you to help me in that. And I need to know that you're going to be vulnerable and intimate back at me, because otherwise it's one-sided and I ain't interested in that, sorry. But I'll go elsewhere. Relationships, family, begin with God. I was just reminded of Psalm 139. Well, thank you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know well. I can look back at my natural parents and think, God, you know, why did you place me there? But actually, if I hadn't been born to them, I would not be who I am today. And it's about how I look. It's my characteristics, my isms. It's the experiences that I've had, whether they are positive or negative, because God brings about everything for his good. Our background may not be perfect, but he's with us all the way through it, whether we've known it or not. His promise and his plans are to prosper us, not to harm us, aren't they? So good's got to come out of it. So he wants us healed, restored, forgiven, and to forgive. A happy family is but an earlier heaven. Love it. Can't remember who it was who said it. George Bernard Shaw. It's too small on my bit of paper. A happy family is but an earlier heaven. That's what I want to experience. I want to be experiencing it now. Why was I born? Because God wanted me as his daughter. Why were you born? Because God wanted you as his son and his daughter. Love. That'll do me. He wants us for himself. We've got the whole of eternity with him and with each other. So take a look around the room. Richard got us to do it last week. And I'm sat there thinking, no, I was going to ask them to do that next week. But no, I got encouraged. Take a look around the room, because you are looking at your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your mums, your dads. We need each other. If you're sat there thinking, I don't, because I've got my natural family is good, but God has so much more. And you're not going to get that unless you're putting up with us and learning from us and eating with us. God's wanting to encourage us to live with mindset on heavenly things, to experience those joys, surprises and gifts he wants to lavish on us. He wants to use each of us to bless, encourage, love, nurture, support, discipline. That's not all the nice words. It's some of the, what we might, harder words as well. But actually, through that, we grow. There's a CD, a song on the CD. It's a New Day song, forgive me. I'm gracious. I just will not leave my head. And so I have been battling with God. So no, this isn't what you want us to play at the end. But actually, it is. So that is what we're going to do. It is a 7-minute song, and I have put the words on the slide, and I will move them according to how they. But the idea is you can sit, you can stand, you can lie flat on the floor. He doesn't care. We don't care. And the idea is just get before him, be open to him and open to the Holy Spirit. Chuck out the bath water, keep whatever nugget, whatever baby, you know, he might have given you. I've then got a few words that I felt he had specifically. We've also got some prophetic words from Wednesday night of what God wants to heal. So we're going to have the song. You can sing it if you want to. You can sit quietly and reflect. It's up to you. And then they're going to down the music. I'll read out what I've got. People can bring whatever they bring. And then if people want prayer and stuff like that, we're just going to let God do what he wants to do. Well, if any of you would then want to go for coffee, so is that all right? So if you're not used to sitting or standing and listening to a song, well, tough luck. You've got 7 minutes in which to learn, all right?
I know it's your love, and it's bigger. day become Jesus plus nothing. Grace is the opposite to karma. Karma is you do good things happen to you. You do bad things happen to you. Grace is you do good, you do bad, good things happen to you. It's so simple. It's so awesome. And so we just pray right now for the grace of God to flow over this tent. Every situation, every hurt, every pain, every hang up, every sin, every issue, every family situation, everything that's bugging, everything that's niggling, everything that's hurting, we just speak the grace of God. He's gracious. He's gracious. Just receive His grace over your heart. Let it fall over. The God of love, a Father who's gracious, generous.
My heart is that I will be that trophy of grace. I mean, I already am in some areas, but there's so much more to come, and that's my prayer for you as well. For me, I know that He wants to heal some minds of lies of the enemy, that you're not good enough, that you don't belong, that no one would really love you if they really knew what I was like inside. That I was an accident, I was an unplanned birth. No, you weren't. Actually, God had planned it since, you know, before time began. For some of us, for some of you, there are angry words that have been spoken over you. When you were younger, there was abuse you suffered. There was separation, neglect, broken promises. For some, fathers were or aren't around. They failed you, they disappointed you. God wants to heal you, but He also wants that right father relationship with you. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. He won't go on His words or His promises. He provides for you. He loves you completely. Physically, He wants us free to be able to demonstrate that love for one another and learn each other's love languages. Because if we're all loving, God, what an amazing community and environment that would be. Now, who wants to join a miserable family that's backbiting, gossiping, complaining? I wouldn't want to be part of that. No, but I want to be part of a community that loves me no matter what.